Okay, so what does true power look like? There's an interesting take on that in the Marvel movie from a couple years ago, Doctor Strange. I bet some of you have seen. Anybody seen Doctor Strange? Oh, no, no one? Okay, hardly anyone? Great, at least one or two. Okay, good. Well, I'm going to tell you about it, so spoiler alerts. Now I'm just going to ruin the whole movie for you. Or maybe I'll inspire you to go see it because you think it's so interesting. The main character, though, of this movie, Doctor Strange, he spends most all of the movie learning about and practicing this mystical skill until finally, by the end of the movie, he wields these almost magical powers that allow him to fight bad guys, allow him to transport himself all over the world in an instant, and even allow him to manipulate time itself. But by the end of the movie, this really big, really bad guy shows up. One so big and so powerful that Doctor Strange's powers seem like cheap parlor tricks. They're insignificant, wholly inadequate in the face of this destroyer of worlds who comes to town. And so Doctor Strange and his allies look to be completely overpowered. But then Doctor Strange does something unexpected. He goes out to meet the enemy alone, completely unprotected and in the open, and he lets this great destroyer do just that, destroy him, not even lifting a finger to defend himself. He's killed right there almost instantly. But soon we learn the real trick. The scene that we just watched repeats. Doctor Strange comes out and he's destroyed again and again and again, and we realize at some point that he has manipulated time, set it in a loop so that he and the destroyer are living out the same moments over and over and over in this endless cycle, and over again Doctor Strange is destroyed, killed, obliterated. The destroyer becomes more and more agitated each time, and we begin to see that Doctor Strange, in being willing to die over and over again, wields a different kind of power, a power that's even greater than the destroyer can wield or comprehend. Now, in our world, pretty often, power gets measured by capacity for violence and destruction, right? And that's a system that's completely based on threats. Do what I want, or I will destroy the things you care about, even I will destroy your life. Whether it's fists or precision-guided bombs we're talking about, the concept is that the one who can do the most destruction is the one with the most power. But the end of this Doctor Strange movie calls that model into question. Doctor Strange is outgunned, but he wields more power than the destroyer because he's willing to experience his own destruction over and over again forever rather than let the world be destroyed. And that is a different kind of power. Of course, we know that Doctor Strange is not the first one to wield a different kind of power. Here in the 18th chapter of John, Pilate ought to be calling all the shots in this conversation. Pilate is the regional governor. What he says goes. But I'm sure, much to his surprise, Jesus won't even give Pilate a straight answer to his questions. Pilate asks him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus doesn't answer, right? He says, "Did you ask me this on your own, or did somebody else put you up to this?" Pilate is the one who decides if Jesus lives or if he dies. But instead of being cooperative here, Jesus turns things around and questions Pilate. You might almost wonder, if Jesus had cooperated a little more here, could the cross have been avoided? But that really sort of misses the point, because Jesus clearly is not trying to avoid the cross. He basically says so. My kingdom is not from this world. If it were, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over, but as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate's threat of violence and death, it has no power over Jesus because Jesus wields a different kind of power, not a power based on threats of harm, but the quiet power of one willing to suffer rather than be part of the violence. Death is not a threat for Jesus ultimately because Jesus is the source of life. This power, the power of abundant life, is what allows Jesus to face the cross, die, and destroy the power of death by rising again on the third day. The power of Jesus is so fundamentally different than the power systems of this world, than the power systems that Pilate wields, that Pilate, the religious leaders, even the disciples, they can't understand what is happening. But the power of Jesus is the power of abundant life, and as such, it is not subject to the powers of threat, violence, and destruction. And thanks be to God, this power of life is the power that we are joined to by the waters of baptism when we are joined to Jesus Christ. Having been joined to Jesus, having been made part of Jesus' kingdom, we are not ultimately subject to the powers of threat, destruction, and death. And this essentially is what Christ the King Sunday is about. Give you a little bit of history. In Italy, in the 1920s, Mussolini and his fascist government were calling people to be loyal only to the state, only to them. They pointed to internal and external threats and said they were the only ones, Mussolini, the fascists, and the state, they were the only ones that could meet these threats and address them with force. They built up their power based on threat and destruction. But the church, headquartered in Rome, had a different take. Rather than pledge loyalty to the state, they declared this last Sunday of the church year to be about a different kind of ruler, a different kind of power, Christ the King. The king who wields different power and is willing to die opposing the powers of threat and violence. Christ the King Sunday is a welcome reminder for us that no matter who our leaders are, no matter what form of government we're talking about, it all takes a back seat to our primary allegiance, which is to Jesus, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And if we choose allegiance to the King of kings, what our lives then must look like is working with Jesus to extend the kingdom of God, going into the dark, unpleasant, risky places of the world for the sake of bringing comfort, hope, and light. It means that we may be called to put the well-being of others ahead of our own, knowing full well that we might suffer for it. It means that we welcome the outsider, the alien, the refugee, even fully aware that of the risks that that may pose, because we knew what Jesus knew, that our kingdom is not of this world. Our kingdom looks different. It's the one that Jesus promises in Matthew 25, when the king shall say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. That is our kingdom. That is a different kind of power. And if this is the king and the kingdom that we serve, it means that we have thrown in our lot with Jesus. This Jesus is the one who has destroyed the power of death, the one who has the power of life. This is the one who will make all things new. In the end, Jesus finally tells Pilate, "For this I was born, and for this I came to the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And if the truth of Jesus is about a different kind of power, a different kind of ruler, a different kind of king, then it's about the one who lays down his life rather than participate in the cycles of threats, violence, and destruction. This is the kind of king who gives his life for the very sake of the world. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the path of life. The question raised by this Sunday, Christ the King, is Jesus your king? If he is, for the sake of a hurting world, listen to the truth. Follow. Amen.